welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
And let's pray before we continue. Let's thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit. And thank you, Father, that tonight we want to walk out here being more like the church, not of Acts, but the church that you have called us to be today. Lord, and that's even bigger, it's even greater than what we read about in Acts, because the latter rains will be far greater than the former rains, Lord. So we pray, God, that you'll open our eyes, our ears, our spirits, Lord, so that we can truly see and be open to receive what you want us to receive tonight, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So this week in Ghana was really great. And oh my goodness, when I got off the airplane this morning, it was freezing. Yeah, you see what happened in the week. Because there it's 33 degrees, 80% humidity. So you feel the atmosphere around you constantly. So it's great. Acts 2, verse 1 to 4. The coming of the Holy Spirit. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You see, these people, they were waiting in the upper room for some time, a long time. I'm sure they didn't sit there for a couple of hours. They waited there for days, and they were doing church. I'm sure they were playing some worship songs. They were praying. They even pulled some lots to appoint the next apostle and all those things. So they were doing things like I would believe we are doing as a church as well. But they were all gathered there, not only out of obedience to go and wait for the Holy Spirit to be poured out, but they were really then one accord for the same purpose, the same thing. Is Jesus said that he's going to send them a helper. And they were waiting for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So they were all there in one accord, because we know the scripture that says, a house divided against itself cannot stand. So I'm sure that there were way more than 120 people there, that through the waiting, through the praying, through waiting for the Holy Spirit to be poured out, going on, some of them fell away, waned off, had more important things to attend to, were satisfied with what they already had in their lives. So they missed it. They missed it when the Holy Spirit was poured out in the upper room, which I think must have been a really glorious occasion. Myself, I was in a similar experience in Nepal a while ago, and in Sri Lanka, where this happened, as you can just see the Holy Spirit being poured out. But I can just think how it should have been that day in Jerusalem. That must have been a glorious day. But they were all waiting, the 120 people waiting for the Holy Spirit. And as God promised, he poured the Spirit out. And then shortly afterwards, we read in Acts 2, verse 14 to 15, but Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. So it's 9 o'clock in the morning. These guys are speaking in their tongues, running out in the streets, filled with the joy of the Lord. I can really see how people might think you are drunk. Because my first experience with, if we have to label it, a charismatic church was, oh, Lord, you need to deliver, save me, Lord. So I can see from a world's kind of view, as we read, that these things are foolishness to the world. They cannot understand it. They thought they were drunk as the Spirit came on them and gave them utterance, gave them a new language to speak, that's one of the things that's still one of the greatest things for me as a Christian is, you know, that we speak a new language, people. It is so great. Even though we do not understand it, it does not matter. It's best that way. But we speak a new language which has authority, which has power, which has life to proclaim and speak and release God's kingdom on this earth. So I'm sure that most of us, if not all of us, have received our tongue from the Holy Spirit. Maybe let's have a response. Who has received their tongue from the Holy Spirit? Most of us. Thank you, Tian. I'm glad you have it as well. I think later tonight we should all just have a time of really proclaiming and praying out loud in our spirits. And those who do not, if you have not received your spirit yet, but you have been baptized with the Holy Spirit, you have received your tongue, we just trust God for a releasing of it, that He will help you today just to put your head under your arm and not to think about it and just to do it, so that there will truly be a power unleashed through the languages, the tongues God has given us. And when Peter preached the sermon saying that, listen guys, you all need to repent and you need to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, 3,000 people were added to the church that day. So it is just so clear to me, in order for us to receive the Holy Spirit or to come in working with the Holy Spirit, there needs to be a repentance. We cannot walk the same walk or the same direction we have been moving in. There needs to be a repentance saying, God, I now choose to walk towards you and not my own ways. And then the Holy Spirit can come and baptize you. It's the same with baptism in the water. You make the choice to lay down your former self. So you walk the other way for God to come and establish something into your life. So he preached, repent and be baptized. And afterwards, people were still being added to the church a day. So, Pentecost, it is so significant for me that it's also in this week of harvest, they also used to call it. Because after Pentecost happened, after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, it was not just, okay, let's go home. There was a big harvest after it. So the way I see it is, if you are filled with the Holy Spirit and you go out in boldness, there should be a harvest following you from that and from the church. And I'm trusting God so that He will come and fan our fires, our flames again today, that not only to be intimate and alive, like really alive again in Christ, but so that the harvest can come in, so that the 60,000 students at UP, which are not in this church, are not in churches, not knowing Christ, that they will come, that the harvest will come in, that the businesses, every person that God has given us, that they will start coming in by seeing how we live our lives through the Holy Spirit. So I trust in God for two things today. That one, if you have not been baptized with the Holy Spirit, and even if you are sitting here and you're like, yes, this sounds a bit weird, or I'm not even sure what is baptism, what does baptism mean, that God wants to do that today, if there's any of us like that today. And the second thing, I'm trusting God that He will come and fan our flames again today through His Spirit. Because, you know, if you make a fire, you do not just leave it and it burns for eternity. You need to keep it alive. You need to fan it. And if you do not have all the smart equipment we have today, it is so much hard work to keep a fire alive, even especially in the wilderness, especially on the outside when you're out there. So it keeps hard work, it keeps focus. And that's why I believe that the Holy Spirit came like a mighty rushing wind, because what is the easiest thing to cause a small flame to, like, just cause havoc and burn down a whole city is a big wind. So I'm trusting the Holy Spirit that, like a wind, He will come and make our small fires, our small flames, and He will come and just use it to burn, firstly, ourselves, because there needs to be a purification, a consecration for us to receive the Holy Spirit, but then for it to go out from us into this world. Amen. I think I need to start singing. Are you guys still with me? I have a closed nose, so excuse me. Second Timothy 1 verse 6 to 7. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is the Holy Spirit, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and of love and self-control. So we need to fan into flame the fire, the gift that God has given us. It is not a once-off occurrence. It is not just receiving it. We need to constantly say, Holy Spirit, this fire is dying, this ward is putting a lid on me, it's taking my oxygen, it's crushing me, I need to keep this thing alive. And if you are sitting here today, you cannot really remember when you took it seriously to really just work with that which God has given you to maintain your fire, to maintain the gift. If you cannot remember that or know that we are doing this every day, we have waned, our flames have waned. It has become smaller. And with that, it is like it's a passion for the gospel, for Christ, which is becoming less and lesser because of this. And I'm sure if we acknowledge that the flame needs to be fanned, we acknowledge with that only flame that needs to be fanned is one that is busy dying. So who agrees with me that our flames need fanning today through the Holy Spirit? Now some of you, hallelujah. We're trusting the Holy Spirit to do that today. And through this week, there was a pastor from Francophone, this French guy, and he was also just preaching on the Holy Spirit. So for like 30 minutes, he was just going, "Fan de flam! Fan de flam!" But that is what we need to do today. We need to fan de flam! Oh, through the Holy Spirit. And we need to trust God for that. If I see you guys are getting tired, I'm going to just keep on doing this and start singing, hallelujah. We know that the Holy Spirit has been given to us as a comforter, as a helper. He comes, he's not in front of us calling us to come. No, he's alongside us, walking the walk with us. And I always think that why does God need to give us a comforter? It's because we are called to live uncomfortable lives. Finish and klar. We are called to live uncomfortable lives. That is why God sent us a comforter. Amen. God sent us a comforter because we are called for uncomfortable lives. It's not about us, our comfort. It's about Jesus and His kingdom. So that is why without partnering with the Holy Spirit every day, we will look for comfort in other areas. It is so easy to look for comfort in food. Oh, I love food. Good food is good. Or in our relationships, in music, in worship, in everything, even though it may sound good, we can look for comfort in these things. But if it's not directly from Christ and His Spirit, oh man, we're not using the comforter. Uncomfortable lives we are called for. Exodus 30, verse 22 to 31. I'm not going to read that. It is speaking about Aaron and his sons and how God wanted to anoint them and His holy mountain, and He gave them this recipe to make this fragrance anointing oil. We all know that the Holy Spirit is also seen as through the anointing oil, through olive oil. But God created this oil and said it's never to be used for anything else again or to be duplicated, because this is a holy oil. You need to anoint you and your sons as priests, and then my holy mountain, and all these things. And part of what had to go in to the anointing oil were myrrh, cinnamon, cane, and cassia. And I started looking to what were the uses of those things, because you know God is not just God of doing something by chance. He had a reason why He chose these precious ingredients. You can call it that. And if you look at myrrh, back in those days it was used to embalm the body of dead people to preserve them. So I know that it is part of the recipe of the Holy Spirit when we receive it. Now it's not just about the anointing oil, because what do we receive? We receive the Holy Spirit, which is the oil, which is the anointing. So with the Spirit, we get this part of the myrrh, which preserves our bodies from corruption. The Holy Spirit preserves us. God doesn't call us out of this world, but He calls to preserve us in this world so that we are the shining lights for Him. Otherwise, it just would have taken us all to be with Him in heaven. And with Esther, myrrh was seen as a purification of women. It is this nice-smelling aroma, fragrance, and perfume. And sometimes it was also mixed with wine, even. So then it must be good. Okay? So myrrh was one of the four ingredients to go into the anointing oil. And myrrh was also one of the gifts that the wise men from the east brought Jesus when he was an infant. Cinnamon. In those days, it was used also as a spice and as a fragrance thing, but also for medicinal purposes and for energy. And it also links up with Scripture that the Holy Spirit quickens you. So that part of when you receive the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit quickens you. It brings healing. It brings strength with Him. Cain, you can so many times see when there's a flood, especially a river in a town going down, it just makes everything flat except for the cane. It always keeps standing straight. I'm not talking about the cane that's dead, but the cane that's still green. It always stands up. So the Holy Spirit empowers us. It causes us to stand up. And I want to go back to Acts 2. And as the Holy Spirit came, it filled the entire house where they were sitting. So everyone was sitting. The Holy Spirit came like a mighty rushing wind over them. And then just later in 14-15, but Peter standing with the 11, the Holy Spirit causes us to stand up. Okay? It gives us strength. It gives us a purpose, a cause. 1,000 may fall on this, Psalm 91, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. The Holy Spirit gives us that strength, that power, that authority to stand and to not fall, even though everything is falling around us. Cassia, also a fragrance, but a bit stronger one. This one, I like to see it as mothballs. I'm sure if anyone's clothes has been lying in mothballs, if you're sitting next to that person or behind that person, you're smelling it right now. But cassia was also used to put in the houses to expel snakes, to keep snakes out of the houses. What is a serpent? It's a devil. So when the Holy Spirit comes in, it expels him. It expels the serpent. It expels who we are and brings in holiness and godliness. So it is much worse than mothballs. It's cassia, expelling the devil through the Spirit. And then all these things are mixed through certain measurements, which I'm not going to go into expensive olive oil. And this was the fragrance anointing oil, which made Aaron's sons a priest and which anointed the holy water. And the Holy Spirit is also seen as living water. Holy Spirit is also seen as the dove. And I preached about this a while ago. We can see this as a dove coming to sit on us. And if you know, if a dove sits on you, you cannot do any sudden movements because it will fly away, but you need to tread carefully. And I've been just so convicted this week again that with everything that we do, we need to, with every step, think about this dove, the Holy Spirit. Because if we make a wrong move or sudden move or something out of our own will, the dove will fly away. So it's really, with everything we do, we need to be conscious about the Holy Spirit. And that's where we can come into of quenching it, of doing our own will, things our own way, not His ways. Holy Spirit is seen as a seal, which I also spoke about a bit earlier. So I'm not going to go into detail about the things. The seal God has placed on us as the assurance of salvation. It is a down payment of heaven. That is why God has called us to bring down heaven into this place. Because we are the down payment of heaven. So we are called to give glimpses of it here. Holy Spirit is also seen as the fire. And then we spoke about the anointing oil. But the Holy Spirit is fire. I want to go to Paul. And we can read about it in Acts 28, verse 1-6. Which I'm also not going to read now. Paul won a ship. And the ship got wrecked on this island of Malta. And it was very cold, and it was dark, so there was a fire, and Paul went to go get some more wood to put on the fire. So as soon as he did that, when he fanned the fire, a snake came out. See, there's a snake. So we do not need to go around and look for demons behind every bush, demons in the church, or in wherever we are going. If the Holy Spirit comes in who He is through us, the serpents, they always reveal themselves automatically. And I can just testify about this, where we have been in these remote places where people have never heard about Jesus. As soon as you come to the place where they want to receive Christ, right after they make the commitment, yes, I want Jesus, right after that, they start manifesting. So as soon as the Holy Spirit starts moving in them, the snake comes out of the fire. So what did the snake do? The snake jumped on Paul's arm, wrapped himself around him. What did Paul do? He just shook the snake off, threw it into the fire again. Why could Paul do that? Say again. He was anointed. But Paul could do that because the snake did not know the fire inside of him was warmer than the fire that was on the ground. The fire that was inside of Paul was warmer than the fire that was on the ground. So that's why you could just shake the snake off and throw it back in the fire for it to die. The fire we have through the Holy Spirit is life. And the serpent, the devil, cannot come and take hold of us if our fire is burning and if it's alive. If it's a small little flame, of course, the devil can summon. Then he will actually love this little heat he gets from you. Because lukewarmness, it's better just to have no flame at all. So if we have a fire that is fanned, that is alive, the devil cannot attach himself to us and kill us. I'm going to read this last bit where we read about this in Acts 28. When the native people saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, "No doubt this man is a murderer. Though he has escaped from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live. He, however, shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. They were waiting for him to swell up or suddenly fall down dead. But when they had waited a long time and saw no misfortune come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god." If we will live lives with our fire fanned, like when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost, people will think we are gods. And it's not to exalt ourselves, but that is what God has called us for. God has called us for godliness and holiness through His Holy Spirit. Amen? Do you agree with me here today? So if we trust Jesus to come and fan our flames again through the wind, through His Spirit, that should be the outcome of our lives. So we're going to walk out here. The devil wants to attach himself to us, but we are just going to be able to shake him off because he would not know the fire that is inside. And I want to jump us back into the Old Testament, to Ezekiel. And it's a long scripture, but let's read it. Ezekiel 37, verse 1 to 14. "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and He brought me out in the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones, and He led me around among them, and behold, there were many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And He said to me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' And I answered, 'O Lord God, You know.' Then He said to me, 'Prophesy over these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I was commanded." So there's obedience firstly, exact obedience to the word of God. "And as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone, and I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then He said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. So there was this army that was raised up from this valley. Through, first of all, there was a faith that God could do this, and then obedience, and then by the work of exercising God's command. So God raised up this army. So there was just this hidden potential. All these dry, dead bones lying there for how long? This hidden potential, and God came and he breathed his life over it. Just as God did with the church. They were sitting, they had the faith, they had the excitement, they were ready to lay down their lives, but they needed the breath and needed the Holy Spirit to be raised up and for the potential to be uncovered and for the flesh to come onto them, because the Holy Spirit is our power, is our strength. So we need to trust God. Perhaps there are some dry bones here today that God wants to come breathe his life into again today. And we may say, oh, but I have received the Holy Spirit 23 times in this year alone. And I want to say, especially to you, if we are saying that tonight, do we bear the fruit in our lives? Is the harvest around us? Do we have people coming to salvation around us? Do we shake snakes into fires around us? Can be, physically speaking as well. Because if it's not, then you know what? Our fire has died down a bit. Because Jesus did not give us, he did not promise us the Holy Spirit just so that we can, you know, be comfortable in it. So I trust that every one of us in this boarding, and especially me, we need to trust God for the fanning of the fire again. To really come and breathe his life. And then not only that we will rise up as an army in the valley, because what use is an army if it's in a valley? That we will rise up and go out and be on the battlefield and stand in the place of order and divine order where God has called us as his army. Luke 11:10-13. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his sons asked for a fish instead of a fish, give him a serpent? Or if he asked for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? We all know the scripture. Yes, Luke 11:11, we know it. But it is so true, and this is such a special scripture. Because if we ask God of the Holy Spirit, irrelevant to what we see, experience, if we cry or not cry, if we have butterflies or do not have butterflies, it's irrelevant to what we see or feel, God gives us the Holy Spirit. Not a measure of it, he gives us his Spirit. And then he calls us then to consecrate ourselves. Say, God, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for Spirit. But now I choose to not walk this way, but I consecrate my life. Holy Spirit, lead me to where you want me to go. Help me to lay down what which needs laying down so that we can be the image of Jesus. An intercession before the service was an image of a bride looking down in the water, but you could not see that she was the bride. We are the bride of Christ, and we need to see that we are the bride of Christ, and we need to trust the Holy Spirit that we can walk and talk and live so that Jesus wants to come back for us as powerful and in authority. So we need to consecrate ourselves, and tonight I want to do it practically, that we will come to God and say, Lord, we consecrate ourselves so that we can receive your Holy Spirit, and if we have received it, that we can fan into flame the Holy Spirit tonight. And sometimes God can come like a mighty rushing wind and cause a fire, but sometimes we need to go down on our knees, look under this thing where the fire is in, and and do that for half an hour until you get duiselig, and then the fire starts catching on. I don't know what duiselig is in English. Lightheaded. Sometimes that is the case as well. But you know what? We need to be serious about this, and whatever the Holy Spirit reveals us, that we need to do that tonight. And I believe that there is a special anointing on this day, on this service for God, that He really wants to come and do it. So let's be so open for Him to do that. So there needs to be a unity in the house. The 120 were in the upper room in one accord, we read. They all were waiting for the Holy Spirit. So we all need to be in one accord as well, saying, Lord, I am desperate. I am in need of your Spirit. I say I am a Christian, but you know what, Lord, the fruits are not really falling in my life or in my life. I don't know when last I brought someone to salvation. I don't know when last I saw a miracle around me. And if that is us tonight, you know what? We need to fan. Now I've got a book of mine. We need to fan the fire tonight. I want to read us some statistics. Like, why do we need the Holy Spirit? Why do we need to get out of the valley? Why do the dry bones need to live? And the reason for that is, firstly, God has made us to do what? He wants to walk with us. He created Adam and Eve, and He walked with him in the garden. That is why He created man. So God wants to walk with us. So we need to be aligned to His divine order in holiness, in His purposes, because He wants to be intimate with us. But the other reason is, the statistics for unreached people in the world are currently, there are 16,801 people groups in the world. Of these, 7,287 are unreached. That's 2.9 billion people, or about 43% of the world. More than 70% of these unreached people live in the 1040 window. Unreached regions, Asia Pacific, is 93% unreached. That's just under 3.8 billion people. The Middle East and North Africa is 96% unreached. That's 325 roughly million. Sub-Sahara Africa is 38% unreached, 307 million. Europe, 24%, 176 million. And America is 14%, 130 million. So a third, roughly, of the world, they haven't heard about Jesus or had an encounter with Him or with His Holy Spirit. And there's only one thing to blame for that, and it's the church. God called the church so that we can go out and tell people about Him, to proclaim the gospel where we are as we are going to the ends of the earth. So we're all called for that. So not only are we called for intimacy with God, but we are called to be uncomfortable, to walk with the Comforter into this world, to tell people about Him. Because at this stage, a third of the world, you know, they're going to hell. So we need to do something about it and get serious about it, and not just say, you know what, Christy, maybe you are called for the mission field. You know what, it is, no, we are all called. Even if it's your workplace, even if it's your street, even if it's your neighbor, start with your neighbor. Who of us have ever spoken to our neighbor about Jesus? I think it will be a resounding none of us, or maybe to 1% of us in this building tonight. So, and I'm convinced if we have this fire inside of us burning us from the inside, we also read in the Word that the fire is like it just wants to burst out of us. If we really have this fire blazing in us, we cannot contain it. But it is because we contain it, then it's not only the Word, but we actually put a lid over the candle and we cause the flame to die down. It's us, it's our comfort. So we need to trust God today to say, Lord, I lay my comfort down. Who wants to pray that prayer tonight? God, I want to lay my comfort down tonight. Let's thank you, Jesus. And God takes it seriously. And as the Holy Spirit will come after He's fanning the flame, He's going to come and say, okay, I want you to do this. And then it's going to be up to us whether we do it or not. Whether God is only just going to convict us on perhaps the way we drive or speak or do our work. He's going to start somewhere. And as we grow in obedience, He gives us more. Acts 1, verse 8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all your Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." So God has called us to be His witnesses. And the band can come to the front for me, please. And just one thing I've just so taken away from this week and through spending some time in the Word, I think so many times we pray, "Lord, give me, 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 give me." Which is not a bad prayer to pray, because our Father has given us this day our daily bread and all that. But God has just asked me, how often do we pray, "God, this week I don't want you to give me anything. This week I want you to make me. God, make me the bride you want to come back for. Make me a person resembling your image. Make me a dwelling place." God said we are His temples, we are His sanctuaries. So God's presence resides in us. That's why Jesus said, "You know what? This temple is going to be broken down in 3 days. It's going to be risen up again," because He spoke about His body. We are God's presence carrying in us. God's kingdom is where it's inside of us, and we need to have it manifest around us. So that is what we need to pray. We should pray, "Let God give us, but God make us. Make us obedient. God make us uncomfortable, because we're not going to be reliant on the comforter if we are comfortable." Duh. So God, make us uncomfortable. Step out and pray for this person you've always wanted to pray for. And God is going to come and honor that. He's going to plant seeds, and if He's not going to plant seeds, He's going to do a miracle. But we need to make ourselves available and make ourselves uncomfortable. And Tian, you can just start playing on your guitar. So tonight, two groups of people. As I shared earlier, if you have never received the Holy Spirit, or have never been able to speak in your tongues, as we read, utterances, a new language, a heavenly language, or an earthly language, whichever it may be, it sounds something like, and so everyone has a different language. If that is you tonight, I'd love to pray with you so that God can come and unleash that, because that is such a powerful prayer, because that is our spiritual gym. It's not about how big our biceps are, it's about how big our spiritual biceps are, to shake off the devil into the fire. And the second group is, if we have prayed for the Holy Spirit 23 times this year, but the fruit is not falling on our lives, and we need the fanning of the fire.
You move mountains when you speak. You give power to the weak. You raise dead men to their feet. You are strong, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.